In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, there was Paul Brown.
Paul Brown transformed the game.
Hello, Paul Brown here. Welcome to the first ever International Browns Podcast.
Good morning, Cleveland. It's a massive day. Baker Mayfield has left the Browns with a trade with the Panthers, and I'm here with Jack Duffin and Ian Wright. Jack, emergency podcast, breaking news. How are you feeling about the trade?
It's just okay. Could you have held off and potentially got better value? Yes. But at the same time, do you just want to get rid of him and get it done? It's fair enough. So it's one that it's kind of like meh.
Ian, are we going to have a bit more passion and feedback about this lovely trade?
You know, I think from the Browns standpoint, so let's put ourselves in the middle. I think from the Browns standpoint, it's good because the drama will finally go away. And I really mean that specifically to like social media, right? Because I don't think in the real world, like Browns fans are just going to work every day like, oh my God, Baker Mayfield's still on the roster. We have five quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. Like that doesn't happen. But on Twitter, you have dumb people all the time tweeting things about it. And it's just, they keep ripping the scab off of, you know, a wound. So I think in that sense, I don't think that made Andrew Berry more incentivized to make the trade faster. And to Jack's point, if you hold out another month when camp starts, you're going to pay him. Maybe somebody goes down and you, instead of a fifth conditional fourth, you get a fourth conditional third. Maybe.
I think, say the Rams lose Stafford in camp. I think you get a third becoming a conditional second.
Do they even have any picks? The Rams?
The issue the less is need. With that. Who knows if a quarterback's going to get down? It comes into a lot of risk. And I think they're happy to just be done with it. They've then got a budget they can work with and they know what the numbers are.
Yeah. And that's it. And it's like, I think Carolina is a great landing spot for Baker. I now will pull for the Panthers. Just, I like Baker. I'm not a Baker bro. I'm not a Baker hater, but at the end of the day, Baker Mayfield, while he wasn't Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers here, he provided fairly good quarterback play for sometimes, and sometimes he sucked. But guess what? When you have an inconsistent franchise like the Browns have had for two decades, we're really going to blame that on Baker? I mean, yeah, could he have acted better in cases? Yeah. You knew that when you drafted him. So none of this is shocking. I think it is good. And like I said, Baker's going to look damn good in that Carolina blue.
Guys, I just want to make a bit of a statement. I'm really happy that he's left and he can play out his career. Obviously, I always wanted Baker to play out this year with the Browns, but it's happened. But yeah, I just want to say a massive thank you to Baker Mayfield because obviously he listens to the podcast. Maybe he doesn't now because he's a Panthers, but
he'll still come home. He knows where the chickens roost.
He was a great servant for the Cleveland Browns. He gave it his all. I enjoyed watching him. I was excited when we drafted him. I thought he was the savior. Really interesting now going forward with the it puts the front office under pressure now because they've gone for Deshaun Watson. They've let their first round, okay, you may say it's a Dorsey pick, but they've let their quarterback go. Maybe puts Haslam's under pressure as well. I don't know. But yeah, it just feels that if the front office get this right, it's a stand innovation. If they get it wrong, it's I don't think it's gonna look too good. But Jack, I wanna ask you, I know you've got a point to raise. I wanna ask you, how does it actually matter with the cap in a minute? But yeah, you get your point in now.
Yeah, just on Baker first. I'm excited for what Baker will do this season. Expectations have never been lower for him in the NFL. And his issue was just consistency. So we would see the great at times. That second half of 2020, we all thought, hell, he's finally put it together. He's going to be the guy. And hey, at that point, it was sensible for the front office then give him the fifth-year option because you have to decide at that point. And in that second half of that year, He was mixing it with the best in the league. And then you've got that point where it's like, hey, you're going to see great, but you're going to see bad. And that consistency is what keeps him in the middle of the pack. If he was sat there at the, if he was, I always say, I need to, that player to be a top eight quarterback for me to give them big money. And the issue was, we saw flashes of top eight, but then we saw flashes of bottom half. And inconsistency is what killed Baker. But great player to go after in fantasy. I'm going to be picking him up in leagues because he is going to overperform expectations.
It also comes down to, it just goes to show you how much goes into overall quarterback play. Like, you know, Jack, what's crazy is I saw this come out. If I were to tell you in 4 years, a quarterback would throw for 14,125 yards, 92 touchdowns, 56 interceptions, what do you think the record of that quarterback would be? Basically, just under a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio and over 3,000 yards in each four seasons.
I would say that's sort of your 9 to 10 wins a season quarterback.
Yeah, so it's about a 60% winning percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baker's career record was 29-30. So even with those stats, the team was still just under 500. So it goes to show, and I said the same thing. Listen, it's ironic because the same people will make this argument about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson in his last season in the Texans went 4-12, but statistically, look how good he was, right? So in the same sense, it's like, all right, well, I can cite Baker stats, and the record just doesn't fit because, to your point, Jack, in one half of the season, he played really well, and then we had injuries, and there was always something a little bit going on. But I think Andrew Berry's statement really kind of summarizes pretty well why I liked Baker. I think while the city of Cleveland likes Baker, he says, Baker Mayfield infused our organization with tenacity and grit during his time as our starting quarterback. Baker's competitiveness, toughness, and ability to preserve were all characteristics that endeared him to our city as well as his teammates. He will always have a unique place in Brown's history for what he accomplished, and we wish him well as he continues his career. I think that's an excellent statement. It summarizes exactly who Baker is. And he leaves being the only player in Browns history to throw for over 3,000 yards in his first four consecutive seasons. Not even Bernie did that. Now it's a new NFL, but the vitriol that went towards the guy, just, I don't know. I didn't get it. And that's this product of this new social media world that we live in. But yeah, I'm definitely going to pull for him. To Jack, to your point about the expectations being low. Yeah, they're going to be low. I'm excited to see what him and Darnold do down there in Carolina battling it out. But also remember, Baker's going to the NFC, and there ain't as many good quarterbacks in the NFC as there is in the AFC. So, just saying.
Yeah, playoffs certainly are. It's not impossible because when you're talking about the third wildcard spot, one, two teams get a quarterback injury. Hey, if Tom Brady goes down, they'd probably win that division. If Tom Brady goes down after, say, 4 or 5 games, my money would be on Baker Mayfield to win. So a couple of injuries happen in the NFC, and those wildcard spots are going to open up really, really fast.
Absolutely. And you know what? If the Browns go out there in week one with Jacoby Brissett or Josh Dobbs, get ready, Browns fans. Get ready. He going to throw for 400. Matt Rhule's an SOB. I'm just going to tell you, Matt Rhule is going to let him light it up. Home opener, week one. You're going to see crotch grabbing, middle finger. Everybody loved Baker after he got hit in Tampa and jumped up and had all them words to say. Just wait, baby. Just wait. That BDE is going to come in real handy week one if he's going up against the backup quarterback. Just saying.
How do you think the fans are going to react?
It's in Carolina, luckily.
Yeah, American fans versus English fans. Jack, if it was just say it was in the EPL, Baker was coming back to the Cleveland Browns, I think the Browns fan would give them standing ovation.
No. If it's in England, it'd be absolute dogs abuse. This would be like Sol Campbell moving from Spurs to Arsenal. It would be booing. It would be all the way through. And I just think how differently this could have gone. If Baker gets injured and then doesn't play, his trade value is a lot higher. The whole brand around him is a lot better. When he was going up against the team, because the team wanted him to not play, but he got the permission of a second doctor to play, everything. And I think that's a lot of people. It's more frustration towards Baker and the way it all played out. And then his comments of, hey, I want to go boo everyone at their workplace and stuff like that. That just, it kind of ruined what should have been a great relationship. And hey, there was people like me saying, oh, I don't know if we should pay him. But the vast majority of people were fully in Baker's camp. And that was sort of a very much a fringe comment that I had to throw around. But we, all we saw was the last season that completely changed. And by the end of last year, everyone's like, no, don't want to do this, don't want to do that. And it's amazing how quickly the narrative flipped.
Ian, how do you think the American, okay, the Cleveland Browns fans will react to Baker Mayfield in that stadium? Do you
think... I think the next time Baker plays, so I don't know if it'll be with Carolina, because obviously he only has the 1 year deal, which we'll get into the contract, but this game's obviously in Carolina. So he'll get a round of applause. And trust me, NFL fans know that Baker Mayfield will be the home team's quarterback going up against his former team. So they'll be very supportive of Baker week one. If he throws touchdowns, they're going to be crazy. But I do think the next time that Baker starts in Cleveland Brown Stadium or whatever the hell it's called by then, it'll be a smattering. Because remember, Cleveland fans booed LeBron. Now, I get it. People are entitled to boo. You paid for the seat. Boo away. Man, that's not something I do. I don't know these people personally, so I don't know. I'm just not a booer. But there are a contingent of Browns fans like myself that really respect what Baker did. All of those things, Jack, I can't even be mad at a guy for wanting to play, right? So I was fortunate enough in my not so professional athletic career to go through my entire career without ever missing a game because of an injury, whether it was a minor injury. Now concussion symptoms obviously would have been different back then. But at the end of the day, I always felt a massive obligation to my team to perform every single time, whether it was in baseball, whether it was in soccer, whether it was in football, it didn't matter. I was not missing the game. Baker has that same thing. And I can't even be mad. I mean, think about this saying, well, he was selfish. Was he? This is a guy whose his entire life has been a competitor. And if it's a non-throwing shoulder and the guy thinks he can do it, I have no problem with him wanting to do that. And at the end of the day, the booing thing, I agree with him. I think fans are a bunch of keyboard warriors as it is. I mean, tweeting stuff at his wife and all these other stuff. Like, I can't condone that stuff. I get it. It's going to happen. You're a public celebrity, blah, 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 blah. But like, I don't know. I think everybody that tweets death threats, and whether it's in the world of politics, whether it's in the world of sports, I mean, outside of Daryl Ryder, I think you should be able to boo anybody you want.
But I don't think this was a case where Baker's comments were just at the people with stuff to his wife. He was saying anyone that was in that stadium and booed, I want to go to their work and boo them.
I would too.
I think he just needs to man up. And he was right. He put his self before the interest of the Browns, which is exactly what he should do with a short career. But at the same time, as a Browns fan, I have the right to be frustrated that he's made that decision that is in his best interest versus the team's best interest.
The team clearly thought, even at injured, he gave him a better chance to win than Case Keenum.
No, because the team didn't want him to play, and then he got a second medical opinion that forced their hand.
But who played? They played him.
No, it's in the CBA. Could not bench him.
Says why?
It's in the CBA. Because he
the
got
coach
that
can't
opinion.
Bench a player just because they don't think he's going to perform very well. They don't have to say we're benching him because of injury. He could have been the backup.
He could have then raised that, and then they're liable for anything. And if he could have gone, hey, if I play well, then I get this 4-year deal like everyone else, they're liable for it. There's all stuff in the CBA. It's all been gone over.
After that Houston game, tons of quarterbacks should have been benched. I mean, he was bad for a 3-week stretch.
Yeah.
And the coaches sit there and go, you're not playing. You're not giving us the best chance to win. I don't see how you could have a group. Now you can't come out and say, we're not dressing him or something like that. You just be the backup. I take you and Keenum, switch them. You're the backup.
But that's all in the CBA.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying the coaches have to own some of the responsibility for actually playing him because they played him. So,
Jack, I'm keen to know, how does it affect our cap with Baker? Is there a benefit? If I'm correct, we've lost 10 mil of his salary and Panthers are paying 8 mil. Is that right or something like that?
Yeah, so it's roughly about just under 19 million on the deal. So the Browns are going to pay 10.5 mil. Then that leaves 8.5 mil, which Baker's taken a 3.5 mil pay cut has been moved into incentives. So he's not actually taken the full pay cut. It's just moved to incentives where he can earn it back. The same way as Jack Conklin is with the Browns. So these things happen. But that's effectively where it's at, where Browns are on the cap for 10.5 mil. There's then, is that five?
But we don't know what the conditions or the incentives are, correct?
No, that's the incentives for, hey, it's him in Carolina. It makes no difference to what happens with the Browns.
Do we know what the condition is for the draft pick?
Nope.
Okay. I wonder if it's playing time.
Fifth that would become a fourth if the conditions are met. But effectively, the Browns have to pay Baker Mayfield $10.5 million for 2022. The question is, and no information is out just yet on how they do that, because effectively how the Browns pay that money is they give him a signing bonus of $10.5 million and then you trade him. And that's how this process of the Browns paying $10.5 million effectively works within the NFL. So what they could do when giving him the signing bonus is add on 4 void years, which would mean that you have 2.1 million of dead cap this year and 8.4 million of dead cap next year. The way the Browns are so keen to sort of rack up all this fabricated cap rollover, who knows? I wouldn't be shocked if they do that. But we're looking at roughly 49 million of cap space or 57.5 million.
Playing devil's advocate, why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah, it's one that it just makes no difference, and yeah, you can just roll with it. Baker's not going to care
if you're going to give me 0% over 5 years, and I'm taking the 10 million no matter what. Do I want to take it in 1 or 5?
Oh, it won't be 5 because next year it'll all accelerate up, so it'd be
4,
2.1 million, and it'd be 8.4 next year.
Okay, so it's only 2. Okay.
Yeah, because once a player's traded, you get the 1 year hit in this year, and then everything else accelerates up to the next year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do that, but they're not going to go out and blow that 57 million. People keep asking me, it's like, hey, are they going to go spend it? They're going to go spend it. No, because that needs to roll over into next year to make sure they're cap compliant then, etc. But it does mean that, who knows, crazy situations happen. I don't think it's trending that way with Watson, but people have asked, hey, could they go after Jimmy G? There's nothing stopping them going after Jimmy G. I don't think it happens with a straight trade. I think they'd wait for a cut, or the same way they just asked Jimmy G to take a pay cut. They go, hey, we'll bring you in, but we need to get this salary down to 20 million or something, rather than I think it's 26 or 25. But yeah, it's one they can keep an eye on, but hey, in the next couple of weeks, we'll know on Deshaun Watson, and then everything else will fall into place.
Anything else you want to say on Baker Mayfield before we move on?
I wonder how his first meeting with Robbie Anderson is going to go.
ex-Browns there, we've got Zane Gonzalez. He sent me a text today trying to sort me out of a ticket for the game. And Higgins is obviously there. Do you think Caroline wanted Baker all along, and that's why they went with Higgins with the chemistry?
I just think it was a smart move that Higgins is he's an underrated receiver. If you chat to anyone other than Browns fans, so it's one beautiful. Where they get a guy that he can do stuff, and if you've got DJ Moore, you've got Robbie Anderson. He's a nice sort of complimentary three for a team that is rebuilding. To come in and sort of, hey, can he work it out? Because you get flashes. Very Baker Mayfield-esque. The guy loves to flash.
If you look, the Panthers, so I always do this. Whenever a player gets traded, I always go over and take a look at like what the Panthers are saying. So there's an article on Panthers.com that says exactly why Carolina traded for Baker Mayfield. And it starts off and says, the Panthers have checked off a lot of boxes this offseason, all but that one, really, and that came Wednesday with the trade of former Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield. They now give themselves an immediate shot of enhanced credibility after an offseason that saw them make significant improvements to the rest of the roster. Now, they had a huge – now, I'm not reading anymore, but – Carolina had the number one thing they wanted to fix, and that was offensive line. Now they've went out and drafted the kid from NC State, Akawanu, or whatever you say his name. So now they went ahead and added him. They locked up DJ Moore. So they're sitting there going, to Jack's point, like we were talking earlier, we need a reliable quarterback because in our division, it's very winnable. So it makes complete sense for Carolina. And Higgins, you know, to your point, Higgins is in there saying, I don't think they don't care anybody about that, but I mean, they needed him, right? Is there really any other, it was the best fit by far, I think.
Yeah, one of the listeners, Seahawks had no interest.
By the way, another Brown, former Brown there, Justin Burris, Austin Corbett is now also with the Panthers.
Really?
Cam Irving, Zane Gonzalez, who you mentioned. They've got the punt god, Johnny Hecker, in Carolina now.
Yeah, because he's got number 6.
Oh, he does. Legend. Hollywood Higgins. Scrolling. I think Michael. Oh, no, he's the kid from Ohio State, Michael Jordan. I was just scrolling through their roster to see if there's any other. Ooh, nice Photoshop of Baker in there. Beautiful. Beautiful.
One of our listeners, Sarah from New Mexico, has asked, any idea when they'll make the Watson suspension decision?
End of this month is sort of the deadline for it. Will be at least before that. The tone's definitely sounds like it, the initial ruling is going to be less than a season, but Roger Goodell could then just turn around and go, well, it's a season. That's what we wanted. But the NFL's putting out a media push that they want the year / indefinite. Indefinite for me is just a year. And you got to remember Myles Garrett was indefinitely suspended and that didn't last past the season. It's all going to come down to will he overrule. It's going to be somewhere 6 to 10 games. And then Roger Goodell will then decide whether he wants to move it or not. Because it all could just be posturing, which, hey, it makes sense if you're the NFL, you want to sound tough on these things. And then you can just wash your hands of it when it's done.
Jack, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, and I know there's the new CBA and all this other stuff, but like the NFL already knows. They're not learning any information. I think this whole thing with this Sue Robinson, this is all just checking the box to me. Like the NFL already knows what they want. They just have to follow the process. They check the boxes, and they're going to come out and say, this is what the suspension's going to be. And I understand that now there's nuance between, well, he sat out last year, but he was paid, so he'd have to be reimbursed fines and all this. I don't think it's going to be that difficult. The NFL is going to come out and say, this is what we think it should be. That's it.
But so you're saying they'll just override Robinson?
Well, who do we really know, like, who Robinson is? Like, I know we're trying to create, like, an A versus B, but what if Robinson comes out and says, yep, NFL, everything you thought is true, I think a year is fair. Like, I know she's not working technically for the NFL and she's an independent counsel, and I'm sure she is amazingly qualified person. But when you're talking about multi-billion dollar entities, and I know that some people think that like the NFL won't suspend Watson because of the ratings. No offense, Deshaun Watson is not impacting ratings. Like,
but it's
people
jointly
are
appointed, so she doesn't get this role again if the NFLPA don't want to jointly appoint her.
But you don't think she's already making 7 figures somewhere else?
Yeah, yeah.
So what, but if anything, she's probably getting more exposure now that she doesn't want. They're probably going to one-time these people so you don't develop a reputation, because if she does earn some money in her other career, I don't know what she does. I'm assuming it's something legal, but I'm sure that she doesn't want like the stain on her record being like, oh, you're that Sue Robinson that handles the NFL cases. No, I did one. The next person, they'll probably have a different person every time.
But I think it just comes down to the interesting stuff that the NFL decided to only put forward 5 of the cases for these women, which was odd. There was also a report that it was nothing to do with violence, coercion, or any of this stuff, which was bizarre. But
did you see the quote on that? I think it was Joe Banner, and I know you're his buddy and you guys are favorite. It's on Twitter. But he came out and said, if that's the case, that meeting wouldn't have lasted 2 hours, which I agree with. For it to last 3 days and them not to talk about something. And by the way, Sue Robinson is a former United States district judge. So that's, yeah, she's not going to go and do something stupid that would be outside of the realm that was going to impact her legacy and career as she is a former, you know.
But outside the realm, I'm no one's expecting she's going to turn around and say zero. But at the same time, I don't think many people are expecting her to turn around and say indefinite. It's where she sits in that 6 to 10 range of.
Well, indefinite. Isn't that the funny word that the NFL uses when they say, because like, remember Josh Gordon was suspended indefinitely and it was only Garrett. Because you need to meet. Yeah, that's valid point there, Jack. You need to meet these certain conditions. So for example, they may say the suspension is indefinite with no less than a year, but it will be a year and you can apply for reinstatement provided you meet these conditions. So it's a fancy way of saying it's a 1 year suspension because you're going to be on probation anyways. I just think there's contractual NFLPA stuff that involved that. So even if it comes out and it says indefinite, they could say it's indefinite 6 games.
Yeah.
So, but I think a lot of people are out there starting to, you know, pontificate that it's going to be 0 games because of last season. And I'm telling you right now, that ain't going to happen. And also I'm just going to tell you Browns fans, I know we have millions of listeners on this. I've told you this privately, Jack. If you, during the course of this entire thing, have guessed a number and that it ends up being that number, do not spike a football on this one publicly. If you want to go text your friends and do it, but I will tell you right now, you do not want to publicly spike any footballs if you nailed his suspension at 6 games or 8 games or just, you know what, this is one of them situations, just let the process go out and just quietly send it in our group chat.
Well, I won't be quiet in the group chat.
This is an ugly situation regardless. That's why I'm saying there's no point bragging about guessing a suspension for a guy with these allegations. I mean, it's just.
Is there any chance Deshaun Watson is to play against Baker Mayfield week 1?
I would say it's unlikely he plays in that game. Highly, highly unlikely. Yeah. If you were going to say a percentage, I'm saying there's a 10% chance because, hey, weird stuff can always happen. There could be a legal challenge then, like Tom Brady's got moved back some point in the season or a whole year.
I would just wonder about an appeal or something that he's able to play a game or two and then it kicks in and he has to miss. There is a percentage chance. I just don't think it's very high.
Yeah. I think 10% just to allow for all eventual outcomes, but something in that 6 to 10 range is probably where we're looking.
Any other Browns info? I met with Scottish Hammer last week.
I did see that. I was going to ask you, how is the Hammer?
He's very good. He's very happy at the Giants. He's got freedom to be himself. And he's got no one challenging for the punter position. And the special teams coach just said, you get on with it. We trust you. And from there.
He had a nice boomer I saw that he put on his Instagram story. So. Had a nice, beautiful turnover. Punting porn, such a good thing.
It'd be quite a big change for him, I guess, just in terms of city, going from Cleveland, where everything's about football, to New York, where lots of people in New York probably couldn't even name the starting quarterback for either team.
The best part
funny thing was, we were in a pub and someone with a Giants jersey came in and I said to him, I bet you no one knows who you are here, mate.
No chance. I have a question. How many Browns fans would know if Cade York walked in? Like, you could be sitting in Tremont or a bar and Cade York were to walk in. I guarantee you, 99, unless his family's in there or his best friend from LSU, nobody knows who the hell Cade York is.
Yeah, fine.
And if Corey Boriquez comes in, nobody in Cleveland's going to know who Corey Boriquez is.
Know what Charlie Hewlett looks like.
You're damn right we do. So, but yeah, that's the thing. And, listen, it'll be, I think, interesting for Hammer when he's walking down the streets of New York and people think he's probably more closely related to the Encino man than he is a Giants punter. So they're going to be like, hey, are you the guy from Braveheart? Are you the guy, Paulie Shore? They're going to start thinking he's all these celebrities. And he's like, no, I'm a punter. And they're going to be like, I'm sorry, what? What does a punter do?
One thing he did say is stats were poor because his special team coach was saying, kick the ball up.
Told you, nailed that one.
Yeah, the stats were low because basically they wanted them to
cover.
Yeah, basically. So
remember, Jack, I told you there's an analytics side where they said if you kick it this number of seconds, I would love next time I'm out there across the pond or you're here, Paul, I want to meet up with Hammer. I want to talk punting for at least 30 minutes. So, Paul, what do you know what he's saying? Does like that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So in essence, for all the other people out there, so they're basically saying Hammer was told kick the ball for this many seconds in the air because we can cover it. So they're going for the net return yards, not the gross. Because a lot of times you can kick a ball 65 yards, but if they get 20 on the return, it's a 45 yard punt. That's the net. So if you kick it 48 and they only get three, it's the exact same. But a lot of times when you sort by stats, and I tweeted about this a bunch of times, you'd see that his net was like within a 1.5 yards of the guys that everybody like loved, yet his gross was 7 or 8 yards difference. And when I was there at that Thursday night game against Denver, I mean, he was ripping 70. I mean, it was in Cleveland. It was at night. He was hitting just moon balls, but they were lower. So that's why I kind of started to think that it was a special teams decision to do it.
I think you need a podcast like Punters of People's too, and like interview just punters one a week, add in some of the rest of special teams, because obviously they need to hold for kickers. They need
we would need a sponsor, and we would need to buy followers, because me and maybe my wife,
I'm showing you.
Yeah, I think McAfee might even opt out of that one, because he's realized that like he can throw in one punting thing in his 3-hour show, and that's about it. I mean, he talks about AJ Hawk's hair more than he does about punting. So, but McAfee's a legend. I'll give him that. But his little 19, I mean, he talks more about WWE than his punting career in the NFL. So just saying that much.
I've also got some exclusive NFL UK news. A lot of people want to know this, but not many are Cleveland Browns fans, is that the Giants are going to travel in on a Thursday and stay at the Grove, and potentially Hammer will get Sunday night out because they'll fly back on the Monday.
Ooh, very nice. Did you go meet Russell Wilson?
I didn't know. I had plans that night. I'm just going to try and finish off anything else Scottish Hammer said that he would be happy for me to say. He did say some negative things about the Browns, but we've agreed we're not going to say about that. Yeah, he still lives in Cleveland, still lives in Tremont, and
he's going to stay there when he sees them New York realty prices.
He's got a Cleveland girlfriend, and yeah, his plans to stay, go and live in Giants, New Jersey, and then he'll come back to Cleveland.
Yeah, well, I'll have to link up with him, chat it up. We got some good Scottish stuff going on in the area. We can sit down cool. And have some whiskey or some scotch.
So to our listeners, in our eyes, it's the start of the season now. Baker's being traded. We just want Deshaun Watson news to come out, and then we're going to go back very regular. But this Deshaun Watson, we've decided not to create content around yes, if, but, when, what, you know, every single day. So is that fair, Jack?
That is 100% true. No one has a clue. We're talking from the Ian Rappaport to the Josina Anderson, the Schefters. They are literally just clutching at straws. Florio makes up a different story every day, which always contradicts the one he did before. None of these people know, and lots of people are putting out content just for the fun of it, and it doesn't actually mean anything. So rather than just speculate for pure I want to say shits and giggles, I'm just saying, yeah, anyway, absolutely. We've just been like, we're good.
It's a lot of filler content, right? It's just filler. And that's what Florio does. You know, we tell people these guys are paid to put out content, so they have to put out content. So it's just a bunch of opinion shit. We can sit here all day and pontificate and make up things and opine about things. We have no idea. I'm not that connected, right? So we do have an interesting show coming up. Jack, you want to kind of tip them off a little bit, like what we've been discussing, just a little bit different of a format. Put out, I think we'll probably put it out early next week. Just something bit different.
We're going to get joined by a couple of people and a couple of other Browns fans.
We'll do a little round table style.
What one we've heard from before, and one will be new. I don't think he's been on the podcast. So
I don't think so. So
from a small little foreign country that hey, we're all fond of.
Hey, listen, Sophie Moulds, Sophie Mould, queen of the West. But yeah, no, it'll be good. It's something a little different. You know, there's obviously formats out there where a lot of people get together and kind of banter back and forth, different thoughts, opinions, ideas. So it'll be good to kind of get a little bit of a diverse opinion spread of people who are seeing things different ways. Some of us agree on certain things and disagree on other things. And really it's, you know, there's no consistency amongst the bunch, and it'll make for a good discussion. So we'll have our moderators and we'll have a little panel of discussions, and we'll talk about a myriad of topics, give you guys something to kind of chew about as we're getting close. Well, Minden Camp starts end of the month, right?
Yeah. It's coming. Month,
yeah. So never know. I mean, I believe the Hall of Fame game is 5 weeks away. Four or five, somewhere.
I need the NFL season. This month is the final month.
There's nothing to bet on. That's what Jack's betting on prime ministers. He's got nothing left.
Hey, that was in December.
He's squeezing out every drop of water from the rocks of Wales that he can. It's the only thing that comes out of Wales, isn't it?
Sheep.
All right, guys, let's finish up by saying go Browns.
Go Browns.
Go Browns.